This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady's in the gun. Collie and Tompkins left. Brady throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell. Tompkins leaping.
He's got it! Touchdown! Patriots!
Kenbrell Tompkins!
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Brady in the pocket. Tom fires toward the end zone and a tumbling grab is made. Touchdown! Rob Gronkowski!
Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots open the preseason in our nation's capital against the Washington Redskins.
Patriots trailing by three. Sets up with a throw to the right side. Catch made by Edelman. Turns to the end zone. And he runs it past the five. He dives to the end zone. Touchdown! And the lead for the Patriots.
Now, Mark, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Welcome once again, as the voice guy said, to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Something we haven't been able to say since January, it is game day, as the Patriots are in Washington, or I guess Maryland, to play the Washington Redskins. That's right, the controversial team with the controversial name is the first opponent on the preseason docket for the Patriots. One thing the voice guy did get wrong in the opening, though, is that Mark Bertrand and Paul Perillo are here to do your grilling. No, they're actually not. Mark Bertrand stuck in traffic because we have a One Direction concert
here.
That's
not fair to poor Paul.
And Paul Perillo is in the studio next door doing big-time radio with the Sports Hub, the terrestrial pregame show. But we're your global pregame show here on Patriots.com, the Facebook page, and all the various Patriots apps. If you're in Australia, we love you. If you're in England, we love you. Brazil, we love you. Anywhere around the globe and you're a Patriots fan, this is the place for you to be. The PPGS, as we like to hashtag it on Twitter. And I want to remind everybody, we want big time involvement. So if you're at an email station or you want to email on your phone, webradio@patriots.com is the address, webradio@patriots.com. Shoot us an email and you can take part in this first pregame social of the summer as the Patriots are down in Washington. If you want to give us a call, 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. I'll say that again.
855-PATS-500.
Or 855-PATS-500. That is the North American toll-free line, and I can give out some of those other toll-free lines later when, you know, somebody else shows up to help me run this program, because we don't want Kevin to talk any more than he has to at this point. And obviously, Twitter is the third of four ways to get involved with the show. We'd love you to interact with us. At Jumbo Heart is my Twitter handle, or you can just put the hashtag PPGS, and we'll go through collating all of those. You can also join in on the fun and the conversation, the chat on the Facebook page. We are just multimedia at its best, but enough babbling about this great program. Let's babble about the Patriots. And one topic right off the start, Boston Herald reported this morning that Tom Brady will not start for the Patriots tonight in Washington. Rather, Ryan Mallett will get the opening snaps. And I think that's an interesting part of this game based on what we've seen the last couple weeks. Mallett has been up and down. You know, I know a lot of people say he's having his best camp of his career, and that may be true, but I'm not sure exactly what that says. Jimmy Garoppolo has struggled mightily in his first camp in the NFL. Tom Brady has been tremendous. He tore up the Redskins like he did to the Philadelphia Eagles a year ago when he tore them up in joint practices down in Philadelphia. But I think Ryan Mallett is at an interesting crossroads of his career. Many fans are probably familiar with Mike Mayock this week going on NFL Network and saying that he thought that Ryan Mallett popped on the football field down in Richmond in the practices, and that he's a legitimate...
Lying your ass off.
I don't know if he's lying, but he's certainly painting a unique truth on NFL Network, and most people in agreement didn't see it that way. Mallett has made some nice throws, there is no question, and he's been better than Jimmy Garoppolo, no question. He should be the backup quarterback for this team, but the drop-off from Tom Brady to Ryan Mallett is massive, and I have yet to see a guy who consistently runs an offense and can be accurate with his throws and hit his targets in stride where they should be hit.
Everyone sucks but me.
You know, there was one great NFL starting quarterback on the field in Richmond, and that was Tom Brady. Everybody else failed, failed to compare, including RG3, who I thought looked pretty pedestrian. And I might argue that Kirk Cousins was the better quarterback wearing a Redskins uniform.
That's my guy out of Michigan State, Andy.
Unfortunately, he's a lot like Brian Hoyer. He can run an offense. He's football IQ and can do all that. He just doesn't have the physical skills.
Two Michigan State guys.
Yes, and neither of them have a full arm between them. You put them together, they might have one full arm. Ooh, phones are starting to ring. I like it. What's that number again? 1-800-PATS-500?
It's 855-PATS-500.
Well, the little sign is facing you. It's not facing me.
That's the North American toll-free number, 855-PATS-500, or webradio at patriots.com.
You got a fill-in host here, me, Andy Hart, and you got the sign facing in the wrong direction. If you're local, 508-298-0398. And as we did say, at some point during the show, you may hear some loud music, because about 50 yards away, there is a massive stage set up here at Gillette Stadium for a One Direction concert, the first of three straight nights here at Gillette Stadium. So I think it could indeed get a little bit loud as we are underway in the show. But it's a simple question, and I posed it on Twitter earlier, hashtag PPGS. What are you looking forward to? What are you excited about tonight? I know I have a few different things that I'll be looking for. First and foremost for me is Brandon Browner, the veteran cornerback that they brought in, has been very physical in camp. We'll see what he can get away with in game action with actual officials throwing flags. And we will see how many reps he gets. He was with the twos for a good portion of the final walkthrough down in Richmond, and I think that may be a precursor to him seeing a lot of playing time. On the flip side, I wouldn't expect to see a lot of playing time for Darrell Revis. I know many of you are excited, but he actually tapped out of the final stages of the very warm, humid Tuesday 3-hour practice. So I wouldn't be stunned if he sees, you know, a series or less, or quite frankly, I wouldn't be stunned if he didn't even suit up tonight, because he is of that level in my mind where it's not necessary. And if Tom Brady's not going to play, I wouldn't be surprised if Darrell Revis doesn't play. But we will have to wait and see for that to unfold on the field down there in Washington. And I know a lot of you listed Ryan Mallett. A lot of you listed Jamie Collins. A lot of you listed the receivers, Justin Jones, the young tight ends. Those were just some of the names thrown out on Twitter in terms of who you're excited to see. And I know James White is developing quite a nice little following. He is certainly a guy that I am intrigued to see. I think he will see a lot of touches tonight as both a ball carrier and a pass catcher. And I think he has a chance that he could be an offensive star in the preseason as he begins his career here. But to start things off here on a pregame social, and due to the fact that I don't have anybody else to share the microphone with right now until Mark gets here or Paul comes over from the other studio, I'm going to share the microphone with a longtime PPGS listener and a guy who is generally the first caller on every show, our friend Jeff in Vegas. Jeff, take it away.
Hi, Andy and Kevin. How are you?
It's just Andy. Kevin's on the phone with somebody else, but I'm doing great. I am carrying a show on my back, as I often have to do here in PFW. What are your feelings about the preseason opener? Who are you excited to see, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm excited to see Roy Finch is active and playing. Is he not?
I would imagine. I think you're going to see quite a bit of Roy Finch tonight, both as a receiver, pass catcher, running back, and most importantly, probably as a return man.
Yeah, I know he was a little bit banged up. I know strippers and some of the other Oklahoma fans have been very high on him, so I'm glad to see that he made it back relatively quickly to whatever little bump or bruise he had the other day.
Yeah, he nicked up his leg. That was in the Friday night practice, so just under a week ago here inside Gillette Stadium. He got tackled on the sideline and took out a few players and took a while for him to get up, but he's been back on the practice field, and I think it was just a scare, and I think he should be good to go tonight.
Yeah, and if the reports are accurate that New England is in fact showcasing or shopping Ryan Mallett, well, who is going to be Brady's backup based on how Garoppolo has looked thus far in camp?
That's a great question, and it may tie into the fact that I'm sure you and many Patriots fans saw that the team reportedly worked out Brady Quinn last week, and he could be an option as a veteran backup. So, you know, they're just reaching a crossroads here, I think, with Ryan Mallett. And if you're going to get anything for him and turn him into a commodity or chip, you're going to have to do it now, because he'll be a free agent at the end of the season, probably won't play at all during the regular season if all goes well. So if you're looking to recoup that third round pick you used or whatever it may be, now's the time. And, you know, maybe they're comfortable with Garoppolo. I know they like Garoppolo a lot. So even though he hasn't looked good, I know there are some people within this organization who said, or who believed that they thought he could start as a rookie. Not here, but, you know, he has the talent to be a rookie starter somewhere. If that's how they feel, maybe they're comfortable going with Garoppolo as the backup.
Yes, and speaking of recouping, Andy, many of us had a very difficult year betting-wise last year. I've been in my bunker all preseason long. With all you need to know about last year is that Fred Kurst led the way as far as picks go, so that just displays what an anomaly last year was. Anyway, I do have a quick idea, Andy, for tonight's game, which, by the way, not that we even look at preseason betting, the total 38.5, Washington minus one. I do have my Jeff in Vegas idea of the preseason.
I don't think Kevin's listening, so I go, heavens to Betsy.
Heavens to Betsy.
What's your idea of the preseason? I like that you mixed it up a little. What do you got?
Yeah, here's the idea. Let's assume the total on this game, it opened at 37. Now it's up to 39 in some places. With Brady not playing, and based on how you guys have seen Mallett and Garoppolo look, I'm just going to go with under the 39. Let's hope that the two New England quarterbacks are not in rhythm, as they have not been all preseason, and maybe the defenses step up a little bit and are a little ahead of the offenses as well. So just for this one preseason, take under 39, lock it in.
All right, Jeff, thanks for the phone call. And there you have it, straight from Vegas, our official Patriots insider out there in
El
Vegas.
El Jefe, as we call him.
El Jefe taking El under A on the game tonight. It's interesting with these preseason games because, you know, if you're a gambling man, which I am not, some of these end up real ugly, low-scoring affairs, and then I think points can come in bunches with missed tackles, big plays, kick returns, things of that nature. So taking the under, I guess you're rolling the dice a little bit, Jeff. We'll see if you start off the year in positive fashion. And just as I speak, speaking of positive fashion, Paul Perillo, the great one, goes from terrestrial radio to the global home of the Patriots pregame.
Hi,
the
Andy.
PPGS.
You hold down the fort?
I think I did a decent job for the first 10 or 15 minutes, whatever we had there. Talked to Jeff a little bit in Vegas. Broke things in the way we usually break things in.
Jeff breaking this one down for us from a number standpoint?
Took the under. Took the under, and he hopes that the young quarterbacks...
Heavens to Betsy!
...are lacking rhythm offensively, as we have sort of reported early in camp. I don't think it's a terrible way to look at it.
No, and with the reports that Brady's not going to play, then, you know, you'll even have those... You know, last year, Brady played the first two series, and all of a sudden there were 14 points on the board.
Well, if they get a 63 or whatever yard run to open things off there, then you're on a bad start. And that's what I just said. That's the way I look at the preseason. I won't be surprised if it's like 10-8, or I won't be
and
surprised.
And it's always a funny score like
yeah,
that, too.
But I also am not surprised if it's 45-42 and you have all these big plays and pick sixes and returns. You just never know.
You ready for a bold prediction?
I guess.
I'm going to predict Belichick will go for two at some point tonight.
Okay. Instead of trying the 33-yard
yeah,
field
from
goal.
From the 15, right?
Whatever.
Yeah, 25.
Yeah,
eight,
we should talk about that. This
33
is our
yards,
first
extra point.
Time to get officiating. We did not have officials down at the joint practices in Richmond, much to the dismay of RG3.
And the entire Redskins organization.
But you will see defensive contact, illegal contact in the secondary is a point of emphasis. Paul and I actually just watched the video today. You'll see clipping and low blocks on the offensive line where you now have to be in front to chop a guy down, basically. And another issue that they're really I'm interested in is unsportsmanlike conduct and taunting. Now you can't swear or say something to a teammate and you could get flagged?
Well,
I don't understand that. If I yell, "You're a dumb bleep and bleepity bleep," and the official hears it, I'm going to get a 15-yard penalty for yelling at my teammate?
I just wonder where we're going with this stuff. And I'm not – listen, I understand the severity of some of these words and whatnot. I'm not just trying to dismiss it as being the
words
guy.
Words hurt, Paul.
But I mean, when you're on the field, I'm sorry. I don't think that's the time to be trying to police what everybody says.
I agree. I mean, I guess in this day and age, there maybe are some things that really need to be off limits. Race. Sexuality, you know, with the Michael Sam issue. But again, if a guy says something offensive to his own teammate, I find it almost unthinkable that that team is going to get a 15-yard penalty
right, for
an internal issue.
And they were even talking
Isn't
about
that what coaches are
language
for?
In your locker room and in your, when you're traveling.
I don't
you
care
know,
for it.
I think when you're trying to legislate what people can say, You know, I think we might be taking this a little too far. But, you know, the other thing that struck me when you were talking about, and Andy obviously is referencing the video that the players will see next week when the Eagles are here. That's when the officials are going to visit training camp for the Patriots. And they'll watch all this stuff. We had a chance to see the video. And when you brought up the clipping, you know, no more low blocks from the side as well
or
as
rolling,
the back.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you just say, you know what, no more blocks below the waist?
I don't think you can take that away necessarily. I think that's a pretty key aspect of blocking. You know, I think that's a pretty key aspect of pass protection for running backs when you have a Richard Seymour rolling through at full speed at 315 pounds and Kevin Falk at 205. To take away his ability to cut a guy, I think sort of changes
yeah,
the play.
I mean, I didn't really think of the running back. I was thinking more in terms of the interior line play. You know, because some of those plays that they deemed, you know, they didn't deem them, that are legal, where a guard is pulling out and chopping down a defensive end, perfectly legal. He's got his head in front. They're showing examples of legal blocks. I mean, I think those are dangerous. When a guy gets cut and he doesn't know he's going
to
get cut, to me,
but
it puts him in
peril.
But he's going
to get cut. And
but he doesn't see the guy coming. It's a blind cut. Like when you, and you very rightly brought up a good example of a low block that probably needs to stay in the game. When Kevin Falk is taking on a Richard Seymour type rusher, what recourse does he have other than to go low? Otherwise, he's going to get killed. But generally, you know it's coming. Richard Seymour is coming. He's running right at the guy who's going to block him. If he goes low and he, you know, wasn't prepared for it, that's on him. I'm talking about sort of that blind shot. As long as the guard comes out and gets his helmet in front, it's legal. But he doesn't know what's coming.
I just think where it is now, most blocks the defender does or should see it coming, and they've eliminated the ones that are really from the side and the rolling up on a leg, and the ones that are probably more dangerous than the traditional. And as we speak, another member of the show beginning to stroll on in. You know, we started 5:15-ish around here. Paul Perillo got here around 5:27. Mark Bertrand looks like he should be ready by about 5:35. Some of us were here at 5:14 on the dot, ready to roll.
That,
Tom Coughlin would fire both of your asses.
One more time. That light's broken. Remember.
Hit your mic again. You're
hit
not
your
on.
Hit your mic again.
Crying out loud, real radio guy. Nope, no. Still don't hear you. Nice job,
again.
Kevin.
No, tell him to hit it one more time.
I am twice. Surrounded by monkeys.
He hit it twice.
So probably turn it on and turn it off.
How about now?
Nope, still not now. So that means it's a Kevin problem. So
one more time.
While Mark is... No, not one more time. While Mark is getting ready and you idiots figure that out,
how about now?
I am going to go to one of our callers. Blake in Sacramento wants to talk about who's going to step up at safety, and I think that's a great question because just about anyone who's ever had an idea of playing the safety position has lined up next to Devin McCourty this summer. So, Blake, what do you think?
Right now, I see Harmon or Hogan Ryan.
Yeah, I saw Harmon, too, coming into camp, except I haven't seen a ton of Harmon next to McCourty. I've seen him get his chance almost equally with every other guy who's a potential possibility. As you mentioned, Logan Ryan's been out there, Kyle Arrington, Nate Ebner, who I assumed was not a defensive option, but apparently is.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope it's Logan Ryan for coverage.
Roll up the window.
I'll see Harmon being a good coverage guy.
I see you're in Sacramento, California. It's nice out today, right?
Oh, 75 and sunny.
Yeah, and you got the window down, apparently.
Yes, I do. I'll roll it up for you real quick.
Do you have any confidence in the safety position next to Devin McCourty, and does it even matter if they're good enough elsewhere?
Yeah, no, I don't think it really matters. I mean, Harmon, it seems like it's going to be split between Harmon and Logan Ryan, or at least that's what I'm hoping. So, I mean...
What would your reaction be if Patrick Chung is the opening day starter at safety next to McCourty?
I think I'd have a problem with that.
Yeah, so it does matter. On some
I think
level,
a lot of people would have a problem with that. And I got to tell you, Patrick Chung has gotten a lot of reps. Well,
plus, it matters how whoever it is plays.
Good point, Paul.
I mean, if you
good
don't point. Play well, it matters.
Good
I mean,
point.
It's
Paul.
Not like that. I think
Paul's in midseason no, form. Hell of preseason. It matters how you play.
Shut up, you. If you go out there and think that this is the 2000 Ravens defense, and okay. The 11th guy doesn't have to be at an elite level. That's not what this defense is. They're going to need whoever it is to play at a reasonable level. Otherwise,
all right, Blake, thanks for the call.
I don't think
up.
That they're so good that they can afford to have poor play at one spot. And
yeah,
get away
people.
With it.
I mean, listen, the defense is much improved, But people have gone way too far with this. Way too far with how good they're going to be. Now it's just, it doesn't matter. Oh, it doesn't matter. Stick anyone out there at safety. Doesn't matter who it is.
Bill seems to be going that there. He's putting Nate Ebner out there a lot.
And that won't work.
Guy plays rugby.
That will not work.
By the way,
you've been calling it a fatal flaw all summer. A potential fatal flaw.
I think it could be a potential fatal flaw.
And so don't make fun of Beadle and I.
May not show up until January, February. I mean, you don't, just because it's a fatal flaw doesn't mean, okay, week one you're going to lose because you have a bad free safety next to Devin McCourty. It could be the fatal flaw down the road when you actually play a team that's good enough, has 2 weeks to prepare, whatever.
What have you thought of Harmon so far? In what you've seen?
He's been fine. He hasn't gotten a ton of reps. He gets a lot of reps with the twos.
Yeah, now he got the reps, I would say, this week down in Richmond. With McCourty. But Andy's right. We've seen as much of Tavon Wilson and Patrick Chung and, you know, lesser, but Nate Ebner has gotten reps with McCourty.
They're all getting
Patrick
all four
Chung
guys.
Scares me.
We've seen
Patrick
Logan,
Chung
we've seen Logan
me,
Ryan
Nate
and
Ebner
Kyle
scares me.
We've seen Logan Ryan and Kyle Arrington get some chances back there. Now, some of those are like different packages and whatnot, but they've played a little safety. So I think Bill is just sort of searching and hasn't, going into camp, I thought this job was Harmon's. I thought that was it. He was the safety. I don't think that anymore. And it's not because I haven't seen him play well. Just the fact that I haven't seen him play as much as I thought I would at this point. I can't imagine that he is so happy with a second-year player that I know what I have in Daron Harmon. I'm going to see with these guys. I can't imagine that, a guy with so little experience. So it's one of the things I'm anxious to watch tonight.
One of the areas another team could exploit, Andy.
Yes, right? No question. And since every time I hang up on a caller, that line immediately fills up, I am going to return to the phone lines, and we're going to go across the pond for the first time tonight to Marcel in Sweden, or Sven in Sweden. He wants to talk about Darrell Revis. What do you got, Marcel?
Well, you're such an asshole to everybody there. You.
All right.
What'd he say?
All right, now, let's clean it up a little bit. We'll give you another shot.
I'm sorry, an a-hole.
What'd he say? I missed it.
Called you an a-hole. Oh, he didn't say a-holes.
Oh, I've got that before. Why am I an a-hole? Because I said Sven and Sweden?
No, because you call everybody a monkey when you're the real monkey. But
oh, well, these monkeys, they haven't gotten anything right yet tonight.
What do you mean these? What did I do
anyway,
wrong? You weren't here. I was doing the other thing.
At big time terrestrial radio, as Andy said. I was
listening. How many snaps do you think Revis will play?
Very few, if any. If Tom Brady's not playing, then the superstar on the defensive side of the ball, I think there's a shot he might not play.
Yeah, and I actually think, based on the way they practiced this week, that those the ones, quote-unquote, really went at it.
Thanks for the call, Marcel. The monkey told me to get you off the air.
Especially on Tuesday, those guys went at it. There was about a three-hour practice. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of those frontline guys, Wilfork, Mayo, Revis, you know.
And as I mentioned earlier,
some of them
way to get
out.
Us excited about this game, Paul.
No, I don't think you're going to see a lot. Well, we knew that you weren't going to see a
lot. Some Ebner, Malcolm Butler.
I mean, come on. Last year they played, what, a series or two? I mean, that was the most you're going to see. And I don't expect to see those guys any more than that. And I don't think we're going to see any of Brady based on everything that has been reported. And I wouldn't be surprised to see other guys fall into that category, Revis among them.
Just to be clear, though, Revis is on the field warming up. Our
yes.
friend Dan Roach tweeted out a photo of Revis Island getting prepared. So we'll see. But I wouldn't expect to see a ton of Darrell Revis, even if whatever he tapped out for late in that practice was nothing, because he was back the next day for the walkthrough. I mean, it's the preseason opener, and, you know, he's the defensive Tom Brady, so why are we risking it?
And Browner is one guy that I think you might get to see tonight because of his situation with the suspension.
Situation.
He might need. Well, he's going to be suspended the first four games.
I know.
That would be the
he
situation.
He wasn't sugarcoated. He called situation. It.
I called it a suspension.
Yeah, I know. He said the word suspension.
I mean, what do you want me to say?
Ray Rice
because
had
he stuck a needle
his
in
wife.
His ass, he won't play the first four. I mean, what did you want me to say?
Well, that's a little vulgar.
Okay. So I was just going with the situation with the suspension.
Okay, proceed.
So I think he might play a little bit more because
Which
he won't be
sense.
Playing the first month of the season.
And as you so
yes,
greatly
it was an
astute noted.
Observation by me.
He played with the twos a lot in the walkthrough the other day. So maybe
played with the ones and the twos.
And the twos, but got that group that we're probably going to see a lot of, the twos, quote-unquote. So mixing in there.
You know, you're Justin Greens. Malcolm
who has
Butlers.
Had a terrible camp, by the way.
Justin Green?
Yeah. He was a flasher last year who stuck around. I think he's been horrific this summer.
Get arrested for that.
What do they say? The bloom is off that rose or whatever it is?
That is what they say.
Well, I think the bloom is off that rose.
Who is they?
Who you got, Bertrand?
He's got Pat Patriot on tonight.
He does have Pat Patriot. Where, you know, things you're looking forward to. I posed a couple. Browner was sort of my first because
I heard you off the top talk about Ryan Mallett getting the start at quarterback. I'm very interested to watch Ryan Mallett this entire preseason because this is now his fourth year in the league. Like, at this point, I want to see something that you can look at and point to with this guy and say, you know what? If Tom Brady, as he gets into his late 30s, is in his late 30s now, has an injury, not something catastrophic that requires him to miss a season, nothing like that. We're not talking anything major. But if he suffers a minor injury that's going to cause him to miss a game, can we find something in Ryan Mallett this preseason that you could point to and say, you know what? I have confidence in that player to step in and not be Tom Brady, but at least manage the team and manage a game to the point where he's not putting them at a significant disadvantage. They're going to be in a game even if Ryan Mallett's a quarterback. I'm very curious to see what he does because there's all the controversy this week. Mike Mayock saying that he's popped and he's been terrific and he sees a starting level quarterback in the NFL in Ryan Mallett. Everyone else is looking at him saying, well, he's made some good throws at times, but he's not what Mike Mayock has made him out to be. He's not popped. He's not impressing everybody. So I think with an opportunity to start, I know he doesn't have guys like Dobson out there. He doesn't have Gronkowski. It's not like he's with the true ones. But I like that he's starting, and I hope they find a way to get him another start here in the preseason and see what do you got, man? What do you got at this stage in your career? You're at the end of your deal, 4 years in. We haven't seen a lot of you. You didn't get into a single regular season game last year. Have you gotten better to the point where you look at him and say, that's a good backup that the Patriots have?
And then I think by extension, the question is, if he plays well, is he here? Or does he play well enough so that you can entice somebody to swap a fourth-round pick for him and unload him?
I wouldn't trade him. I mean, if he comes out and he looks good, I would not swap him for a pick.
Andy, do you think they can afford to trade him this year based on what you've seen so far in camp?
Yeah.
I don't.
I think he stinks.
I don't think there's
I can watch Garoppolo stink, too.
Yeah, well, I think that's a whole different level of stink.
And the other thing is, there are degrees of stink.
Brady has never missed
a game. He's only missed a season.
Andy, just because that's true, you can't expect that to remain true.
You can't operate like that.
And if you see this guy go out in the preseason and have good games and put together good drives, I'm sorry. To me, it's not worth the fourth round pick or whatever you get for him.
So you don't think they're showcasing him?
I think they are.
I think there's a possibility that's happening. I don't agree with it. Because if he's good, I'm keeping him, and I'm saying, no, it's not worth the draft pick. I'd much rather have a better insurance policy if we are without Tom Brady for any amount of time, even if it's a short amount of time. Even if it's half a game, I want the better of the two guys. And I think Paul's right. A whole different level of stink when you're talking about these two quarterbacks. And that's not even to say that...
I don't want to be disrespectful of Garoppolo either.
He's a rookie.
Yeah, absolutely. His head is spinning right now. He's not ready. And I think what we've seen, I think you agree with me on this, Andy, you know, he does not look like he would be physically able to get onto the field and play, say, a two-game stretch. Like Aaron Rodgers.
Right now.
Aaron Rodgers last year missed a handful of games, and Green Bay was able to win a couple of them to stay afloat, and then when he got back, he won the games he had to. They got into the playoffs. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo could do that right now.
But I don't think he could right now.
Ryan Mallett, I think, could go on a four-game stretch and at least go 2-2.
Oh, I'm not in any way agreeing.
I don't know how you can say that.
I don't think he's very good.
And you think Garoppolo could do that?
No, but I think there's a chance that this month of football is huge for Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he could be a far better quarterback a month from now than he is today.
But if they're right about him, you think in a month he could be as good as Mallett?
But Andy,
I think there's a chance.
Let's say it's a four-game stretch, and with Garoppolo you go 0-4, and with Mallett you go 1-3. I'm taking the 1-3 over the 0-4.
Well, obviously.
To me, that's worth it.
But I don't really agree with your premise.
but I'm just saying that if that's the case, right, you think they're both bad, I'm still not going to take a pick in exchange for potentially giving up a win in your season.
Well, but remember, this is a football team that makes some of its free agent decisions based on a compensatory pick that could be anywhere between a 4 and a 7 or a 3 and a 7, essentially a 4 after the third.
I'm just saying I don't agree with
that. They care a lot about draft picks.
I know. And I do think, I agree with your premise that they're trying to showcase him right now. I think that was what the Mayock comments were all about.
Mm-hmm. I also don't know why anybody would trade for him at the end of training camp.
Listen, Bill O'Brien didn't want him in Houston, right? I mean, Bill O'Brien would rather take a flyer in the fourth round as opposed to give up the pick.
That would be
in the
apparently be the case.
And get Ryan Mallett, okay? So if he doesn't want him, and he's had experience working with him, he didn't want to give up a fourth round pick. Who's going to want to give up that pick?
And the longer we go, like I was even thinking you can go all the way to the trade deadline, but with a quarterback you really can't.
No.
Because you just have to get him into the system.
Just on the Mayock thing, who do you think in the league actually hears that from Mayock and puts legitimate stock into what he said? Because if you and I and just about everybody else who hears it says, oh, come on, everyone else is looking at this saying, yeah, he's been okay, but he hasn't been as great as you've made him out to be. Do you really think there are other GMs and personnel people in the league that hear him say
just
that?
To
say,
address,
we got
to
pick up the phone and call on Ryan Mallett.
You know, listen, I'm not a football expert by any means. I don't think he has popped during this training camp. There was a 2-day stretch, I want to say last Saturday and Sunday, when they practiced the first weekend of training camp. So it was like the third and fourth days of camp. That I looked at Andy, I go, you know what? He's thrown the ball pretty well today. He's played, was a very brief period. I mean, we're talking 12, 13 days of practice at this point. What are we up to? 11, 12 days, Andy?
Sure.
And I can literally talk to Andy for 5 minutes and we can break down individual plays that we thought he was good. That's how infrequent they've been. Whereas if you ask me to tell you good plays that Tom Brady's made or Darrelle Revis has made, I wouldn't even be able to scratch the surface. Not that I'm trying to say Ryan Mallett should play at that elite level, but you get my point. Nationally, you asked what the national perception of those comments were. I had a national guy actually call me over the other day, a national writer, not a national scout or anything like that.
Gotcha.
And he and I talked about it for like 10 minutes, and he just laughed talking about what a sacrificing of credibility that is. So that was one person's national perspective of it. You know, just to let you know, I don't think that a lot of people could necessarily buy that hook, line, and sinker.
So
but we'll see. I mean, I think they've done it in the past.
It's not even personnel people. It's just other reporters.
This was a national writer
of the game that see that and say.
Who was at the same practice, by the way, and just didn't see the same stuff that Mike saw.
On this topic, Matt in New Jersey would like to chime in on the Mayock Mallett controversy. Matt, what do you got?
Yeah, hey guys, I just want to know if you guys really see anything in Mallett.
I see a tall guy with a strong arm, same as we saw when he entered the league, a tall guy with a strong arm. You know, he probably runs the offense better than he did, but I still see a guy that goes through his progressions, doesn't really know where he wants to throw the ball, and then even when he does, doesn't always throw it where he wants to throw the ball. I just thought that lack of accuracy and that lack of decision-making, to me, are what separates him from being a starting NFL quarterback or even in that conversation and what he is right now.
Exactly, and that's what I thought. I thought maybe I was missing something, but...
Nope. The only thing we're missing is exactly why Mike Mayock said what he said. And as a fob, as we like to call him around here, friend of Bill Belichick, he may be doing a little favor, you know, a little help for the company.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it wasn't that long ago, and thanks for the call, Matt, that we had... Mike Lombardi going on NFL Network and saying, if I start a team, the first thing I do is go get Brian Hoyer as my starter. And, well, he had a chance with the team.
Then he had a team and didn't go get Brian Hoyer as a starter.
And now works here in the New England Patriots front office. So, you know, it's not always too difficult to tie dots together. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with this. I think it probably happens in every sport, in every city at some time
where
writers and TV people get used and manipulated and all of that. I'm just saying,
part of the job.
Take it with a grain of salt when you hear these things.
I'm not even being critical of Mayock because I'm sure that there's other things that Bill has told him.
Well, he also got a sit down out of it.
Yeah, that have been much more valuable to Mike in terms of his knowledge of what he's covering. You take the trade off, but I do feel like that reeked of helping a friend out.
Okay, we're gonna stick with the phones because they are, as Kevin says, hot like the sun. Melvin in Tennessee, our good buddy, wants to talk offensive line.
Melvin,
hey, what's going on, y'all?
What's happening?
What's up? Who do you want to talk about? Let me guess. I'm gonna say Dan Conley.
I want to talk about all of them.
All y'all.
Good, Andy. You got to get a little Southern twang going on over there.
Spent a little time with Jackie Britton this weekend down in Richmond, so she's rubbing off on all of us.
Ooh.
Good.
I love it. All right, then.
That's good.
I don't know what happened in his room.
So
as soon as everybody gets off, we're going to grab them and have a party.
You worried about the offensive line or intrigued, or what do you got?
I'm concerned, really, because really last year I really didn't expect them to be struggling like that. So what I'm trying to say is that, you know, since they've lost their coach, really, so do you have that high level concern, like based on what you're saying throughout camp and with Redskins and everything like that?
High level, no. Some concern, yes. I think this week, actually, the Redskins did a pretty good job getting after it with Arakpo. Got home a few times, Kerrigan a little bit.
Knocking down passes.
I don't think that this line is great. You know, I know we sort of talk about, we do our lists for Patriots Football Weekly, and I think we included both tackles, Solder and Vollmer, as potential first-time Pro Bowlers. Because they're kind of in that second tier tackle conversation, and if the offense is good, they'll get some credit, whatever. I still think they both need to grow a little bit if they are to be considered that.
Okay. And one more quick question. But based on what you all said, I know you all talked about Garoppolo, stuff like that. How did Brady look when he first started? Was he just really looking dead off kind of as he was going through? Like, is it a rookie thing or what kind of as a quarterback? I know it's a whole new offense. But
you're talking about back in 2000?
Yes.
Yeah, back when he first started, was he looking
He was over his head, yeah. He didn't get a whole lot of reps. Don't forget there were four quarterbacks then, and he was the fourth because Michael Bishop was still here. John Freeze was the backup, and obviously Bledsoe was still here. But, yeah, he did not he made some plays here and there, but he was not ready for prime time at that time. It was 2001 that he came. He was a completely different person, completely different quarterback.
He had a good camp that year.
Had a tremendous camp. He had a tremendous camp in 2001, and it was much better at that point. But before that, yeah, he struggled.
All right, thanks for the call, Melvin. And we're going to go to a break now because I'm going to get the hell out
of
this
seat.
I don't like having to deal with emails and phones. I can't do wisecracks in the background. I got to have some fun. And pretty soon I got to take my pants off so I can do TV after this. But so we're going to do some quick messages. And then the big man, Mark Bertrand, will be in the big seat here on PFW in Progress, the Patriots pregame social presented by Dunkin' Donuts.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power in your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Want to join today's show? Call the guys on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social and your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart.
I feel like the earth has been lifted from my shoulders.
You feel relieved at this point?
I was a little overwhelmed to start the show without you guys, and the phones were ringing off the hook. It's weird.
It's not easy to do.
You think it's better to have, you know, plenty of interaction, but all I could see was the phones ringing and all the emails flowing in, and I just didn't know where to go, what to do.
You know what was odd? I was listening.
That's typical. Paul and I handled that the other day remotely on our own just fine. It's no shock to me Andy couldn't handle it.
Yeah, well, you know what it was? Andy was forced to be, like, serious.
I know your mother can handle
it. He does speak the truth.
When he's alone, he can't crack his jokes. Like,
I couldn't be himself.
It was awesome.
Exactly. I have no fun.
Were you listening to both?
Both what?
Were you listening to him and me?
No, I was not listening to you. I was listening to Andy. That's who I was listening to.
Yeah.
I had it up on the app, had it through the Bluetooth in the car as I was fighting off the soccer moms on Route 1.
I was going to say, paint a picture because you were sort of coming in that in-direction crowd.
One direction crowd.
Yeah, he was coming in that direction.
A lot of SUVs, a lot of minivans, a lot of 13-year-old girls.
Hotties?
Joe Haggerty would know something about that.
From across the ice.
So
that's a second reference I've heard of that one, like in the last couple of weeks.
Well, that's gonna have legs. That's gonna last.
13-year-old girls, that has
13-year-old
legs, man.
Girls across the ice.
Yeah.
We should mention, and I tweeted this out earlier, but since we're in the midst of the pregame social, which is usually the only place you can get Paul and Andy on Patriots.com for game analysis, we're going to be joining Mark Bertrand for the postgame show this year.
This is exciting news.
Patriots.com. What is the sponsor of the postgame show?
Paul and Andy.
The Xbox One.
It still is. Right. I didn't want to plug them without knowing.
We're gonna
have to work on that one, Andy.
Postgame show will now include the PFW boys.
I am still waiting for my Xbox One.
You and me both.
As a result of doing that program.
The Xbox One, early Christmas for Will and TJ.
But yeah, we're really looking forward to that. And of course, in between, Paul and I will be doing live television as part of the Kraft Sports Productions and WBZ Patriots preseason broadcast.
How was the production meetings this week? Were they good?
Good.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't do the real production meeting with Bill Belichick because that took place today.
Gotcha.
And and we flew home last night from the greater Richmond area.
But you all get together and have your little powwow and figure it all out.
We're ready to go. We're ready to be taught things by Matt Chatham, breaking down the special teams action, and Christian Fourier doing whatever he does.
So, as Andy just said, be social with us during the Patriots pregame social. I'm going to give the phone numbers, and then we're going to hand it off to you for what you do best.
Internacional.
876-321-4891.
Don't confuse them, people. 855-PATS-500 is the North American toll-free number. Locally, 508-298-0398. And, of course, if you're on Twitter, you're on Facebook, getting ready for the game, hashtag PPGS. Remember, Facebook.com/New England Patriots is where you find the Patriots on Facebook. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. And it's webradio@patriots.com if you want to send in an email. This is the part of the program where we give out the toll-free international numbers. Andy picks a country every week, and then he provides the toll-free number for that country to reach the show.
And only the way that he can do it.
I think we are going to go with, and I'm not sure if people in this region are safe enough to actually call in, but since they've been in the news for a long time, we'll go to the Ukraine. 0800-502-749. That's 0800-502-749 in the Ukraine. If you are safe enough to call, give us a call, and maybe we can lighten things up for you. You got a lot going on that's really busy and important in your country.
Andrew.
Talk a little preseason football.
That means you, Andrew.
leave it to Andy, dude, to save a country from all the troubles
that they have going on.
They
could use a little light.
Yeah, take a little 5 minutes out of the trouble and call into the PPGS.
I mean, you got planes dropping out of the sky. You got Russia on your tail. I mean, you talk a little Patriots football for a while.
All right, 855-PATS-500. We get open lines. Talked about a lot of stuff so far. Ryan Mallett, the starting quarterback tonight. We've talked about the defense. We've talked about that safety spot opposite Devin McCourty. Am I missing anything, Andy? What are
Tyler
missing?
McCullough we haven't talked about yet.
Taylor.
Do you know who that is?
I hope you called him Taylor in your story.
You might want to check that.
I know nothing about that player.
Well, you should get used to him because you will see him in all three phases of the game tonight. Undrafted rookie out of West Texas A&M. Linebacker by trade. Fullback by request of Bill Belichick. And a special teamer because he's trying to win a role here. You know, one of those guys, third, fourth quarter, when you're looking for something to watch and enjoy, look at that guy. 48, going both ways, baby.
Took about 150 snaps during Tuesday's practice, if you will keep track.
And he literally has to...
Working him like a mule.
Peel off the, you know, third defense, he's out there. And then, all right, third offense against the Skins. He's got to peel off the jersey and put the new jersey on.
Good for him.
Very impressive.
Trying to earn a spot,
nice
man.
Nice guy.
Trying to earn his spot.
And we know this is a place where, you know, every year, a couple of those undrafted guys that we mock... We'll be on the roster.
Or at the very least, make the practice squad.
At the very least. So,
fighting for employment.
Yes. And Justin Jones, I don't know if we've dabbled in him a little bit. Certainly a guy, because there's no other tight ends, that is going to get plenty of chances tonight to catch passes from Ryan Mallett. And that good length and arm radius should help him when Mallett throws it slightly off center.
Justin Jones, absolutely a guy that I'm – Andy touched on it. Gronkowski's out. Hooman's out. DJ Williams got banged up in Richmond. I would guess that he's probably going to be out. Justin Jones, Asa Watson, that's basically what you have left. You see some of Devlin, I would say, in running situations. But in terms of traditional tight ends, you're down to two undrafted rookies, and I would say that Watson is an afterthought. No disrespect to Ben's little brother, but he hasn't really shown a whole lot in training camp. But Justin Jones has had some days where, certainly he has the size, but he's had some days where he's looked the part. Andy and I were very impressed with his blocking ability in a couple of drills that we saw here in Foxborough before we went down to Richmond. Down there, made a couple of nice catches in traffic, took a big hit after one of them, held onto the ball. I think he's a guy tonight that deserves an extra look.
And I joke about the catch radius, but in all seriousness, he's 6'8". Down in Richmond, Ryan Mallett threw a bullet that I don't think any other receiver who was shorter with shorter arms could have caught. He just reached out, strong hands, hauled it in, and then Jimmy Garoppolo threw a ball behind him where he had to kind of spin
in the
air.
That was the one that he took the hit.
Reached out, grabbed it, and then took the hit and went to the ground with the ball. So if you show that ability, that's good because, in theory, if you ever get to be on the field with Tom Brady, that ball won't be out of reach. That ball, and then maybe as the athlete you are, the former basketball player, you can do a little something-something with it.
We're getting flooded with emails.
Dribble it?
No, yeah, I wouldn't dribble.
Don't dribble it.
That's called a bad fumble
idea.
In the NFL.
Bad idea. Wrong sport. We're getting flooded with emails. Keep them coming. Web
it's
radio.
Overwhelming, isn't it?
There's a ton of them coming in. It's a good turnout.
But calls, too?
Good turnout.
Don't know where to go. We're email-driven. We got PPGS, and you don't know where to go.
We're going
to
get to some of these emails in just a minute. Let's go back to the phones. Reese is in Oklahoma City tonight. Hey,
Mike?
Reese.
Oh, hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
I have a question in regards to, like, I know it's early in the preseason, but what kind of offense do you guys think could give our defense issues? Like, do you think it's a team that can spread us out or what? Like, you know, obviously Denver has a good offense, but
yeah, well, I would say a team that has multiple weapons. So yeah, a team like Denver, because I think if you have limited weapons and Revis is at the top of his game, I mean, I haven't really given, that's a good question, actually. I haven't really given that any thought. You know, what could be the kryptonite to this sort of new and improved revamped defense? But I would think that if you have multiple options and you're fairly balanced, I would say, let's see. You know, I think we have a lot more depth at cornerback, but let's see Kyle Arrington and Logan Ryan match up against receivers that can play.
And I would
let's
also
see Brandon Browner play against a legitimate number two receiver.
A team that has a good running back, a good tight end, or both, because my questions are going to come at the safety coverage positions and the linebacker coverage positions. We can talk all I want about, you know, these linebackers are versatile and athletic and Jamie Collins and Dante Hightower. I still need to see them prove to me that they can cover an athlete in space. So, you know, Sproles is with the Eagles, right? Didn't he go to the Eagles?
Right.
Yeah, so next week in practice we'll get a little better look at a creative offense that has two running backs that can challenge a defense in Sproles and McCoy. Or if there's a team that puts a tight end out there like a Denver could or like a New Orleans could. You know, some guys that you can't necessarily or won't necessarily take away with Revis and your corners, those secondary coverage guys. I mean, quite frankly, they sucked at the screen passes last year, and the other day they gave up a big screen pass in practice to the Redskins. So, yeah, you know, some of those areas where the linebackers and the safeties are involved in the coverage could be an issue.
That's a good point, Andy.
Thanks, Paul.
Cool. All right, well, I appreciate the answer, guys.
All right, Reese. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
I bet you he's looking at Roy Finch, like strippers.
In Oklahoma, yeah. Roy Finch, nice guy, by the way, strippers. Had a chance to talk to you, boy.
He's a yoked-up little dude, too.
Yesterday. Huh? Oh, the days are just blending together. Was this yesterday?
Old. Was it yesterday?
It was yesterday.
Okay.
We were in Richmond yesterday.
You've been all over. You guys
were in Richmond, then we're at the airport.
Class travelers.
Then we had an Escalade waiting for us at the airport with a little sign that said Hart.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty nice.
It was pretty cool.
Russ is
Andy's kind of a big deal.
You're a big deal?
Yeah.
Kind of, I think.
Yeah.
It didn't say Hart in Perillo. It just said Hart.
And I said, yes, I am.
And I bummed a ride with him.
And it was some
Dr. Galakowicz?
Some other guy named Hart. Yeah, you guys just stole his limo. That's probably what happened there. Russ is in Westfield. Hey, Russ.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Not too bad. How are you?
Good, thanks. This is kind of a tough question, but it has to do with Revis and renegotiating his contract and tying in with that tight end that's in prison right now. If and when we ever get the salary cap relief, how do they prorate that? Is that for 2 years? Is it 1 year, a big whack that all of a sudden, if they win the case and now we get a big extra sum of money, that certainly could go to Revis. How's that going to work out? I know that's a difficult question, but
well,
how do you think that'll work out?
It would come as a potential lump sum, but it also probably won't come for a year or two down the road, and the lump sum I've been told we're talking about could be in the range of $3 to maybe $5 million, depending on how things are sort of viewed. But I think we are a ways from that. You know, we're what? The one trial is slated to start potentially in October, but everybody expects is going to be pushed back. Then you have the other trial that'll be probably a year removed from that. And that could be potentially, from what I'm understanding, the more important trial because of those things that took place prior to the contract signing. I don't really think you can plan on that cap space really at all, and certainly not if you're looking to do a Revis extension anytime between now and before he hits free agency next spring. The only good news is the $7.5 million that's on your books this year of dead money for Aaron Hernandez comes off the books.
855-PATS-500, that's the phone number if you want to jump on board. 855-PATS-500, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Let's get to some of those emails. Brandon from California, want to get high. That's how this is signed. He writes, my question is, due to the fact that Browner won't be able to play in the first four games, Paul, you kind of talked about this a little bit already.
Let's get that situation with the suspension.
Let's get that suspension situation.
Do you see him getting an overextended amount of preseason snaps to get him ready for the year?
At least at times. And I would think tonight you might see him a little more than some of the other frontline guys. I'd be interested to see what happens, say, in that third game. And I also think it's, it might be a moot point at this point because we haven't seen any of Dennard.
Correct.
In terms of any contact. He's been back on the field. He's been back in uniform, but he hasn't participated in any team drills. He hasn't had any contact yet. So I think Dennard and Browner is an interesting camp battle for that starting job, but we haven't seen any of Dennard, so it's all Browner. I don't know when Dennard's going to be ready to go, so it might be something we might have to see Browner because it might not be any option.
Bigger picture question from our buddy Al from Paramus. Do you think this defense can be one of the top 10 in the NFL this season?
Yes.
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 I don't in top
it,
10.
It was 9 last year.
Almost any way you measure it, I think they have the chance. I am
points
very
yards.
Much intrigued by this defense. I'm not willing to say it is going to be great, but I think there is reason to be, for example, up front, I think Vince Wilfork is going to have a big year. I think he is motivated. I think he feels doubted because of his age, his injury. He was asked to take a pay shave. I think everything about Vince is ready for a big year. At the second level, those linebackers that Mike Mayock says are
best in the business,
as good as any group in the NFL, which is almost as equally ridiculous as him saying Ryan Mallett's a starting quarterback. But I do think there's a lot of potential and talent there. And then obviously with Revis and Browner in the back end, you know, the cornerback position at the very least is deep as we've ever seen it here. So I think there is boatloads of potential. But, you know, you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself and have Vince Young call you the dream team. There's boatloads of potential in a lot of places. Or the Lakers when they bring together Howard and Kobe and Nash. You know, potential only gets you so far. You actually got to go out and play.
Email on the offensive side of the ball here from Chris in Seattle. I love this email. Hey, guys, so excited for the new season. Love a lot about the new Patriots, especially Revis. And, of course, I'm wondering if the buzz I'm starting to hear about James White is legit. Not that I'm necessarily doubting it, but I've been hearing he may likely be a three-down solution, that he'll be taking snaps from Ridley this year, etc. Those are pretty big statements. What do you all think? Thanks, Chris in Seattle. How has James White looked? Because it seems like there's a lot of buzz and a lot of praise for James White. What have you guys seen?
And I think we've been a part of that. Yeah. I think both of us have liked White.
Guilty.
I think he's White on track to be a productive rookie.
This is what you have to look forward
he's
to.
He's been all white on the practice field. No, in all seriousness.
There's a pun there for a cover of Patriots
oh,
Football
God, yeah.
Weekly
oh,
coming.
God, yeah.
I just,
yes.
It's going to happen
the
at
The white
some point.
Stuff, no question.
Right.
But
I don't know if that one would fly, but go ahead.
Why? The right stuff, the white stuff. I do think we need to, you know, Parcells it a little bit. Let's not get the bust ready for Canton just yet. And I'm not sure he's a three-down back. On a
yeah, and
regular
I know that
basis.
Belichick talked about that. I don't really see him that way.
I think he could take carries from both guys.
Yes, I think he's like Vereen. I think he's capable as a ball carrier. I don't think he's a guy you want to give 300 carries to.
No, he'll never make it.
No, he's not big enough.
But he has shown the ability to run with the football. He has shown the ability to catch the football in camp. And tonight, I think he's one of those guys that will be an interesting watch because he certainly has gotten a lot of reps, but is also clearly behind Vereen and Ridley. So this would feel like a game, if it's going to be a Ryan Mallett-led offense, feels like a game you're probably going to see a good chunk of James White.
Yeah, I hope so. And what I found interesting is during some of the goal line periods that they've used during camp so far, they've had Ridley generally gets the first carry or two, and then it's White.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly they want to see what exactly they have as a ball carrier. They're probably pretty sure what they have in terms of his versatility, but they want to see purely between the tackles, how tough is he, and you know what kind of load can he carry in terms of just running with the football, because he comes from Wisconsin where everybody has ridiculous production.
That backfield
and
last
he
year,
did.
Crazy production. I think They had like more yards than any other backfield in the history of the NCAA. It was nuts.
Yes.
Good email here from Jamie in London, England. Checking in from across the pond, Andy.
Good day, mate.
That's Australia, wrong country. Hey, guys,
and
quick question.
Top of the morning. No.
Yeah, I've been
morning,
reading.
Morning, Governor.
Hello, Governor.
There you go. Now you're on track. I've been reading about Josh Klein getting reps with the ones with Dan Connolly playing center.
Yep.
How has Josh Klein looked, and do you think Solder, Mankins, Connolly, Klein, and Vollmer is a possible starting offensive line come week one, or do you guys think that it will be the same offensive line as last season? Thanks,
no.
Jamie from London.
I'm feeling stronger and stronger that it won't be the same offensive line as from last season. What it will be, I have no idea.
That's certainly what it seems like they wanted to start tonight with, based on what we watched yesterday, is Klein at right guard with Conley at center, Wendell sort of the odd man out.
But remember, we had that three-day stretch where it was Cannon at right guard.
It's been different guys.
Conley missed one day, and then Cannon stayed there for 3 days.
I still think you are going to see the same offensive line back.
Want to bet? Want to bet a lunch on
it? No.
We got an early
PBGS bet. Do not feel
early
great about
lunch
it.
Bet.
Don't feel great about it.
Who
not
lost
willing to
our
bet.
Lunch bet. Andy lost the lunch bet, right?
I did. We had a lunch bet. I don't even remember.
All I know is I didn't.
Oh yeah, I had to buy some subs.
Brought
right?
A coupon.
I brought a coupon. I'll buy one, get one.
Yeah, I'll pay off the lunch bet.
Well
with a
played
coupon.
By me. but you know, Klein has been the guy. Cannon has been the guy. We've seen Vollmer move around when Cannon was at right tackle and Cannon was at guard. Vollmer's played some left tackle with the twos.
Yep.
Googe, we should mention. Dave DeGuglielmo?
Guglielmo.
We're going to call him Googe from here on out. We said
correct.
It once. We're good.
Is he okay with that? Is that like...
Oh, he's Googe.
Yeah,
that's his
that's
nickname.
That's what everybody calls
okay,
him.
Yeah, well, he's Googe.
Googe.
He's Googe with that. Ah, see what I did there?
Good guy, by the way.
But he's moving guys around. He's going to put his print on it, and then you have to get into the cap stuff. Whether you're looking to save some money by cutting Dan Conley, which... Doesn't look like it's going to happen. Looks like Dan Conley's either going to be the guard or the center.
You can save some money by cutting Dan Conley.
Or Ryan Wendell. And if you, you know, and then you got that next group kind of where it feels like Jalapio has gotten a lot of more consistent type reps. And is he in the mix? Because you now have Stork sort of out of the mix after getting hurt. And Fleming looks like he's going to be the tackle, the young tackle that'll somehow be in the mix. But, it's going to be interesting. There are some interesting decisions to be made on the offensive line, and you wonder if it's all Bill. You know, in the old days, I would assume Dante would have had quite a say into what was going to happen. I'm not sure how much in year one Googe is going to have to say.
Yeah, and they have the three draft picks that Andy just talked about. You know, I would be surprised if they're not around now. Perhaps, you know, Stork's been out for a while now, and I know it doesn't seem like that long. It's a week, but in training camp, that's a month. And you know, if it's serious, you know, if it's serious enough that potentially lands him on a list, you know, at the I guess the end of August would be the first cutdown. That's when you can put guys on IR. So I don't know how that factors in, because I'd be stunned if any of those three draft picks didn't make it. The way we've seen Fleming and Jalapio get a lot of reps during camp.
Let's go back to the phones. Rahul is in Atlanta, Georgia. Hey, Rahul.
Hey, how are you guys?
What's going on?
Good, what's up?
Not much. I had a question. Everyone's talking about the secondary with the additions of Revis and Brown, and that's quite exciting, but how do you think that's going to impact our pass rush? I know we have Chandler and Ninkovic, but over the seasons, because they have to play for so many snaps, they tend to get wear down by, you know, November, December. So how do you see that playing out?
Well, it should help. I mean, that's what they all said. That extra half second, whatever you're going to get from having Darrell Revis on your team. We've seen in the past teams be more aggressive when they have Darrell Revis. But in terms of up front, now we have the question is, what's that going to look like? You know, I think we all thought Jamie Collins was going to be a big part of the pass rush. Well, in the 3-4 fronts they've been using all week, he's an inside linebacker with Gerard Mayo. And Gerard Mayo's actually been blitzing quite a bit from that inside linebacker spot. And you have Hightower out on one side, Ninkovic on the other. Chandler's been coming in at linebacker, been coming in at defensive end. So, you know, as Paul says, it's only a week, but it feels like a long time that sort of the 3-4 look has been what they've been working on in camp. It'll be interesting to see if that continues next week with the Eagles and as we sort of roll through the preseason.
And what I want to see is a fresher version of those guys. Maybe Chandler Jones. Andy just alluded to the fact that some of these three-man fronts he hasn't been a part of. He comes in sub-packages. Maybe that keeps him a little fresher, and he becomes a much more effective threat, especially later in games when the Patriots generally are in the lead and they're looking to protect the lead, and you have to get after the passer.
All right. I appreciate it.
All right, Rahul, thanks for the call. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. Speaking of Georgia, here's an email from Georgia. Fellas.
Just peachy.
It's so good to have football back, and even better to have the PPGS back. Before we get too deep into your analysis of tonight's game and the significance of Ryan Mallett starting at quarterback, there is one bit of information we are all dying to know. What color are the Patriots game pants tonight? That's from Tyler in Georgia. He says he's looking forward to the 2014 season. We're going to check in with Eric Scalavino at FedEx Field, but I can tell you, and he can confirm, it's the blue game pants tonight.
Yes.
Blue. the navy blue game pants.
That means everyone, including Taylor McCullough, will be wearing his white number 48 jersey. Right, Paul?
Yeah. Yeah, he and Danny Aiken will have their
48 and white.
White 48.
Very good. This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame
and you know,
social.
James will have his white jersey on.
Yes, he will. That's good, Andy. That's very
No, it's not.
It's very good.
No, it's not.
But also, Chris will have his white jersey on.
We hold Andy to different standards, Paul. So when I say very good, take it with a grain of salt.
It's short,
Buster. Okay? I didn't say that. You did. Stop into Dunkin' Donuts today for a refreshing French vanilla or hazelnut swirl iced coffee. The rich flavor of our French vanilla or hazelnut swirls are the perfect complement to any of your favorite Dunkin' Donuts hot or iced beverages. America runs on Dunkin'. 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number. Webradio at Patriots.com. Send your tweets with the hashtag PPGS. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with more in just a couple of minutes.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG. The power to change life.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
This is Dante Hightower, the New England Patriots, and I get ready for every game with Andy Hart and Paparella on the Patriots Pregame Social.
Thank you, Dante. Thank you for listening to the program. 855 Pats 500.
He probably shouldn't listen.
Yeah, he's probably focused on the game.
Yeah.
But he's getting ready for it with us, so I can't fault him for that. Speaking of Dante Hightower, speaking of the linebackers, we touched on this. We talked about this. Mike Mayock saying that the Patriots linebackers were, how did he phrase it?
As good as any group
in the league.
Which I disagree
not.
With.
You hear the 49ers?
I disagree with. But speaking of that linebacking group, I think
Alton Smith, Navarro Bowman, and Patrick Willis, they have 3 all pros.
Patriots, I'm sorry. I mean, it's no knock on the Pats. You're not as good as those guys.
And they could be. If they all reached their ceilings, maybe you're now starting to say, could you be in that conversation?
Well, I think of it
but
because
right now, ridiculous.
Dante Hightower, he's another player that I think of, okay, we got a new season. You just went through another offseason, mini camp, training camp. He's now at a point where I think you need to see a lot more. I think we saw him trending in the right direction at the end of last season.
The problem is he was trending in the right direction as the middle linebacker. Now he's an outside linebacker.
But don't you still credit him with that, though?
Not necessarily.
See, I do.
I think he had a lot of tackles in the middle of a defense that needed somebody to make a lot of tackles. That was what he was basically doing.
Which is what... than Gerard Mayo does most of the time.
Right. And now you have him on the edge where, once again, you're
going to... Don't get him going on his Mayo thing.
Hold on.
Expecting him to make plays.
Are you saying you agree with me when I think I stated last preseason that Gerard Mayo is overrated?
Oh, I've always said that.
Oh okay. God. You and I agree on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andy's
I think he's a good, solid 100-tackle machine.
I mean, and that's not to say that he isn't very good to bordering
right.
on
those
excellent.
Players, there's a lot of players like that in the league, and those players are valuable to their teams. You need, Andy just said something that might have sound ridiculous, but it's not. Like, he made a lot of tackles in the middle of a defense that needed someone to make a lot of tackles. Defenses need the guy that can just sort of, you don't have to worry about him missing a lot of tackles. He's going to make tackles in the, but I don't,
saying he's
I don't
overrated doesn't mean he's not valuable.
Exactly. And that's what I wanted to try to cut it off at the pass. Andy's gotten into this argument with,
are you saying he's not valuable?
With our
Andy?
Fans a lot?
No.
I think he's not $50 million valuable, which is what he has a contract for.
Well, I'd have to look at other contracts, but I don't feel like his contract is too crazy.
I do.
Really?
I think $50 million is a lot of money. I'd expect some plays for $50 million.
When he talks out of the side of his mouth, it's something he feels very passionate about.
But I also think you know, Logan Mankins for $50 million is questionable. I mean, you have $100 million, and how many plays you get out of that money?
I think they paid him what the market was. That's what I think.
That's
they
what
did.
They would tell you.
I think that's what they did.
They would tell you, oh, you look at John Beeson when he was good in Carolina. You look at, I don't know, three or four similar guys, and this is the market, and this we're going to pay him, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, that's fine. I think you could have put somebody in there that would do the same job. I don't know. Brandon Spikes did it when he was in there. Huh? Dante Hightower.
Now I think you're going
did
crazy.
Did it when he was in there.
Now I think he's going crazy with this.
I think all three of those guys had 100 tackles when you gave them the chance to play in the middle of the defense.
But in that group, of those three guys we just mentioned, Jamie Collins, Jerod Mayo, Dante Hightower, how much better can they be this season than what we saw prior to Mayo being hurt last year? I know Jamie Collins obviously made an impression at the end of last year as well. Even though Mayock, I think, was being ridiculous in his comments, I think they could be pretty good.
Oh, I do
think
too.
They could be a lot better than what they had last year.
Tons
in that group.
Of potential. But
a
now
lot
I need to
of
see
potential.
It. Now I need to see it. And it's not just enough to have tackles now if you're Hightower and you're playing the outside linebacker spot. I need some sacks. I need some pressures. I need some forced fumbles. I need you to put more of those crooked numbers on the board. And for Jamie Collins, it's not enough to show up in three games. Now you're going to be expected to show up in closer to 16. You can't go 11 games with two or fewer tackles.
Yeah, to me, Collins is the key to that, Mark, because I think you kind of know what you have in Mayo. And I think Hightower is still young enough that he can get better, but I kind of think that you have what you have in him as well. Collins is a guy I think that he's just scratching the surface, and we'll find out if he can be consistently the guy that was playing in that playoff game against the Colts. Now, people like to say that, well, he really came on at the end of the season. Well, the next week against Denver, and I'm not blaming Jamie Collins for Denver by any means, but he was among the guys that struggled defensively with everybody else. It was the Colts game in the playoffs that he popped, to steal Mayock's term. The next week, he struggled with Julius Thomas covering tight ends that week as well, and he made some plays in the run game. I think he's a good player. I think Jamie Collins has an opportunity to be a very good player, but we haven't seen it yet. I think
and
there's room to grow there.
The opposite of Hightower, if what we've seen the last week, he's an inside linebacker, which is a little different. It's sort of that switch that Mike Vrabel made when he went from a guy expected to kind of be a sack guy and a pressure guy off the edge. Now right. He's an inside guy, and that role sort of changes.
I want to get to this email from Matt. Matt writes in, "Hey, guys, I feel that our defense is better than it's been in a while, probably since 2010. I found that our defense has been playing so poor in the secondary. Do you think with the new additions," and I think he's including everybody there, Browner, Revis, anyone you want to name in terms of additions, "will Matt Patricia," and I think this relates to our linebacker stuff, "will Matt Patricia be more aggressive this season in terms of being the defensive coordinator? Will we see more flash, more
yes.
aggression?
Yes.
How will it look?"
Yes. I am getting more confident of that by the day. I think we saw them be a little bit more aggressive all week in Washington. As I said, Mayo was shooting the A-gap with regularity and getting home with regularity. I think we've saw at the end of last year and in the middle of last year, stunts and games and, you know, Chandler Jones kind of twisting inside with Chris Jones going outside and some of the corner and safety blitzes off the edge. And now that you have better talent, theoretically, out there doing all these things, you know, if you have Chandler Jones with Tommy Kelly, well, that's probably a little bit better experience-wise. So, yeah, I think they're going to be more aggressive, and I give that credit to Patricia.
Yeah, we saw a lot of it in Richmond. Hightower and Mayo were involved in the pass rush, like Andy said. I think you have the opportunity to do some different things for a couple of reasons. One, I think you're faster on defense, and I think you're deeper on defense. So I think that allows you to do some different things.
Sergio from Chicago writing in to webradio@patriots.com. I have a few quick questions. Number one, if Michael Buchanan plays pretty good / solid this preseason, would that be enough to possibly get him into the starting lineup this year?
No.
Number two, will Jake Beckett finally get cut this year?
I am not sure.
Yeah, Beckett's gotten some run in the preseason. I don't know the first part of that question. Who do you want him starting over? I mean, who does Michael Buchanan, does he take the place of Chandler Jones or Rob Ninkovich?
I don't think so.
If you're playing
in some of those looks, Chandler Jones is a sub.
and right now, as Andy alluded to in the last segment, there have been a lot of three-man fronts where Chandler Jones has been a linebacker. Well, Buchanan has also been a linebacker in those fronts with the second and third groups. Chris Jones, Will Smith, guys like that have been up front in those three-man fronts. I just don't see where Buchanan fits. And to be honest with you, I haven't seen really anything out of Buchanan. I don't know if I'm – have you, Andy?
Not particularly.
He gets reps occasionally, but seen him
– He clearly does the, you know, 7-on-7. Okay, he's kind of an outside linebacker in what they're doing this past week. But, yeah, in terms of showing up, I can't really think of much.
More from Sergio on Beckett. He writes, I dislike him a lot. Why is he even on this team anymore? Waste of a pick. Okay.
I think Jake's in trouble.
He was in trouble last year.
He has gotten some reps this summer that he didn't get last year in his first 2 years. But I haven't really seen a tremendous amount from him. But you know what? I wouldn't be surprised to see him stay in Buchanan go.
Kevin would remember this. He was one of the post-game guests in the preseason last year, right before cutdown day. And I remember I asked him, like, oh, cutdown day is coming. Y'all nervous about that? And he's like, nope.
That's what he said?
He was like, nope, not at all, really. And I was like, oh, so he must know he's not going anywhere. Like, he was super confident. He had no worries whatsoever. And I'm like, all right.
You know,
like,
We
should ask we should because try to I get thought, him as a guest again and I, ask the same question.
I thought, let's wait a few weeks till we get closer. That way we'll ask him again right before the cutdown
I think
day.
Jake is one of those guys that he plays football, you know, like, but football doesn't define him. I think that might have been a confidence that was born out of the fact that if he does get cut, it's not the end of the world for him. So he's not really worried about it, per se, because I think he feels like he could probably do different things.
One more question from Sergio. Do you guys believe Zach Moore will have any significant playing time this preseason? Thank you, and keep up the great work.
Yes.
In the preseason, absolutely.
Certainly. In an interesting wrinkle this past week, he was playing the nose spot in some sub-packages as an interior rusher, and that's an intriguing look. I didn't really see him make a lot out of it, but...
He struggled in those reps. I mean, but the fact that he was getting the reps...
If you're going to give the carte blanche excuses to Jimmy Garoppolo for his head spinning, how about the guy who played at Concordia?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't expect him to be.
Apologist.
I don't expect him to be. I'm an apologist. I'm the one that doesn't want to get rid of Mallett because I don't want any part of Garoppolo playing, and I'm the apologist.
Head spinning, and that's
what you did there. It's ridiculous.
Talk about taking some facts, spinning them around, and taking the exact opposite take.
That was insane. How you just did that. I mean, that's just complete bullcrap. If I may say so myself.
I have to admit that I did say the words that his head is spinning. Which he said that I said. That's accurate.
And now you're an apologist.
Completely took the wrong approach from based
crap.
On what I said.
It's crap.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. 855-PATS-500 is the North American toll-free number. Locally, 508-298-0398. Again, webradio at patriots.com is the email. If you're on social media, use that hashtag PPGS. Let's go to Chester in Oregon. Hey, Chester.
Man, what a great feeling to have some football returning tonight, guys. How you doing over there?
Great. It's about time, huh?
Yeah, man. It feels like forever. But, you know, so much to look forward to. I just want to say, just to comment on your topic about these linebackers moving around. I think it's fair to say we got to throw some caution in the wind, just knowing that there's a lot of experimenting happening early in camp. That being said, let's see what happens on the field and see if there is really some you know, legitimacy to that. But guys, I don't know about you, but after I saw that Mallett was starting tonight, all I could think about was Mayock's fingernails being bitten down to the nubs going into this one. I mean, you know, is his credibility on the line or what, talking about this guy being ready to be a starting quarterback? I mean, you know, we'll find out soon enough to see, you know, how starter ready he is, but that's the first thing I thought of is, oh boy, I wonder what Mayock thinks about him going out there with the ones. But, you know, tonight, for tonight's game, I got three things I'm looking out for. Number one, is James White for real? I want to know, do we have a real candidate here at running back that's going to add to our players, our stable? You know, is Bolden going to be in or out? Where is he going to find, you know, end up in this mix of depth tonight? Number two, can this O-line get it done? I want to know if this O-line can set a tone and maintain something. There's going to be moving pieces, but, you know, I want to know if this O-line's on the same page from start to finish. And number three, I want to see... there's going to be a gritty attitude with this football team. I want to see this football team hungry. I want this football team to get out there with something to prove. I know it's preseason, but I, as a fan, want this team going all in to kick some ass. Let's get it on. Go Pats, F the Skins. Over and out.
Yeah.
Chester bringing it.
Bring it.
As always.
Late night caller style, Chester.
Get ready.
I will say, for some, he's looking for that. I don't know what you're going to see from the defense, but they've had a lot of energy. Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower, a lot of hip bumps and Jones running over. If a guy in the secondary makes a play, he runs over and celebrates with him. They have all talked about, and I talked to Jamie Collins, I talked to Mayo, I talked to Jones. They all talked about having fun and energy, and that's what they want to bring to the field. So that is sort of a, it's not off base for Chester to be looking for that. I think they are trying to bring it.
Yeah, I don't think you'll see it necessarily in preseason games, but we have seen it during the camp so far, and we saw a lot of it in Richmond. On Tuesday, man, they were jacked up. The defense was jacked up.
I mean, I think there is going to be a it's been a bit of a theme here in training camp. Obviously, when you add physical players like the Patriots have done and have gotten guys back who are healthy now, I think that's going to be one of the themes of this team, being a more physical team, kind of having a little bit more swagger than they've had in the past. Confidence,
careful with that, though.
Whatever you want to call it. Why?
I don't know. Sometimes Gerard Mayo bristles at swagger.
Why?
He almost takes a Bobby Knight approach to swagger. You make the tag, you're swagger. I forget. He goes off in these little rants about swagger. A big believer in swagger.
Really? Well, I'm going to say Brandon Spikes was a big believer in swagger.
Oh, yes.
That guy believed in
swagger.
That's
actually when he brought it up. Someone asked if they were going to miss any of the swagger that Brandon Spikes brought to the defense. And he responded by saying, I always laugh when reporters ask about swagger. What is swagger? What exactly, you know, is it?
Right.
It kind of went on a little.
It's a confidence
and
thing.
And it was a lighthearted tangent, by the way. I don't want to make it sound like Gerard was, like, ripping everybody. He wasn't.
But, for example, you know, Browner looks like he's going to have a lot of swagger. But if he stinks and he can't cover people and he's giving up penalties left and right, the swagger's irrelevant.
And it could potentially, if you're playing well, be an intimidation factor.
Sure.
Right? I mean,
indeed,
this stuff, playing these mind games.
Like, I think Gronk has a swagger.
Definitely.
Swagger to him.
Absolutely.
It's a more of a fun-loving, I know I'm better than you, so I'm not even going to get angry swagger, but it's a swagger.
But can a defense much more easily, you know, display their swagger and confidence than an offense can?
Sure.
It's more of a defensive thing. So you're right. If Browner can't cover guys and he's getting beat out there, it doesn't matter how he's, you know, how jacked up he is or how much swagger he has. But if he's playing well, then it's just one more thing in the plus column for the defense.
We're on the big screen right now. Give me a chest bump.
So physical out there that, you know, he grabbed Kenbrell Tompkins a little bit too much last week. Chad O'Shea was very upset about that. Let's go back to the phones, 855-PATS-500, and talk to Harley in North Carolina. Hi, Harley.
Hey, man, how's it going?
What's happening, man?
Hog!
Not much. Excited for the game tonight.
Excellent. What do you got?
I've been thinking about, you know, Mike Mayock blowing up Mallett's draft status all week and him starting tonight. I have a question for you guys. All right, what do y'all think is more likely to happen this season? Let's say the Texans get off to, like, a really bad start, right? Everything's spiraling out of control down there. And what do you think is more likely to happen? Do you think it's more likely for Johnson's relationship to sour further with them and the Patriots make a late trade on the week of the deadline? Or do you think it's more likely for them to address their quarterback issue and trade for Mallett?
The first.
Yeah, out of those two, I would say the first.
I think neither one is likely, but I'm going with the first if I have to pick one.
Right.
If your season's spiraling out of control, you're picking number one overall again, and you're probably drafting your quarterback that you didn't take this year.
Yeah.
And then you could add picks by trading Johnson. Your whole rebuilding effort takes a boost.
Yeah, and I just don't think they have any interest in Mallett.
All right, and another question is, if we was to trade for, like, Johnson, like in the late season, would his cap go down because he's played half a season there or no?
Yeah, you would acquire the portion of the cap that's left.
Right.
All right, Harley.
I think it's after, you know, the trading deadline's around week 8 now, right?
Yes, it's a little later.
So you'd be dealing with about half of the season instead of the full cap hit.
10 or 11, it would be 5 or 6, whatever the remaining portion is.
James is in New York. He wanted to talk about Mallett as well. What's up, James?
Hey, how you doing? I mean, you know, you kind of just dove into the Mallett deal. So I actually want to pivot over to Amendola. I'm a big fan of the guy, big supporter. I'm hoping for better production this year. How do you, and I'm very excited to watch him tonight. Hopefully he gets some good amount of time out there. How are you guys feeling about that and projecting that?
Well, the good thing is he looks good in camp. The bad thing is he looked really good in camp last year until he got hurt. So, you know, I expect him to look good. I expect him to be the starting receiver and a big part of the offense, and we'll see how healthy he can stay.
Yeah, consistency. Can he be out there, and can he be productive consistently?
I've heard a lot of what he's had to say in training camp. Does it sound to you, because it sounds this way to me, that he actually feels like he's got something to prove? Like, he's kind of got this chip on his shoulder now where...
Yeah, but I think he had that last year, too.
Yeah, I think he's had...
Do you think it's increased?
I think the chip is... Yeah, I don't think he's been friendly to deal with in, the, yep. In this
He's been a little
camp.
Crusty.
Yep.
Which I think is a good thing. Like, I look at that and I say...
If he can stay healthy, it's a good thing.
If you're pissed off about the way that you, you know, didn't put up the production that you wanted to last year and everyone else wanted you to do last year, I look at it as a good thing.
Andy had a great piece that he put up during the offseason about Amendola that if you look at his career numbers, what he did last year is what he is. That's what he is. It was basically an average season for him thus far in his NFL
numbers.
Career.
I think the yards per catch was actually
everybody
up
thinks
a little.
It was this big night. It's not his fault that the Patriots evidently thought more of him than he was.
But wasn't there, and I think a fair expectation that playing with the Patriots versus St. Louis and playing with
that's the pixie dust theory. You know, when you come to the Patriots, you automatically become
That's not a pixie dust theory. That's you're playing in a good offense versus playing
in
St.
Louis. So
now
he'll stay healthy.
No, I'm not saying that.
But that's, I mean.
Not at all.
But that's what it is. I mean, like, and Andy broke it down, the 12th, did he play 12 or 13 games last year? 12, I think.
He missed four games, right?
That's Danny Amendola's career.
We'll extrapolate it out, though. What if he had played 16? His numbers would have been better than most of the years in his career, right? So there would have been some.
Yeah, but
had
he doesn't
played
play
16
games.
In those other years, they would have been better.
No, I know. Right. I'm speaking solely from a the way he played standpoint. And Paul, he was on the field in the AFC Championship game, and Brady looked his way once, if that, in that game.
So what
but
you're
putting it all on Amendola.
There were problems with Amendola.
Because he is what he is my point.
Maybe that's the case.
But it's not his fault that the Patriots thought he was a $30 million receiver.
He's not a $30 million
no.
receiver. We all know that.
And by the way, the one time he did play 16 games, he did catch 85 balls. So his production would increase if he's able to play 16 games. He's generally not able to do that because he is what he is.
And there's also the aspect of you can't just assume if he's the 80-catch guy in 16 games in St. Louis where they don't have a ton of weapons. If he comes to New England and Edelman's healthy and Gronkowski's healthy and any of these other guys,
Vereen
Tompkins,
is healthy.
Vereen, any of them, well, he might be the third or fourth or fifth best option, right?
We haven't talked about Kenbrell Tompkins. Has there been a great deal of improvement with Kenbrell Tompkins? Because there's been a lot of praise for Kenbrell Tompkins this camp.
Yeah, I don't...
Whether it be from Tom Brady or others, there's been a lot of praise for that player.
I think there's been a lot of praise from him from all the way back to the spring, and I've seen it on some days and I haven't on others, which to me is sort of what I saw last year, an inconsistent guy who has some talent, but you know that old saying, you know, everybody has talent at this level, it's putting it together and being consistent and doing it on, well, to me that's where he fails to make the connection. He has NFL talent as a receiver, size, speed, you know, the DBs rave about his ability to get off the line, that he's unique in
Browner
that.
Browner especially.
But unless he can do it on a consistent basis and be reliable, well, then you fail to finish sort of the becoming a professional.
Pat's in Agawam. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Beetle, Andy, and Paul. How you doing?
What's happening, man?
What's up?
Hey, I wrote into PFW in Progress today, and you got to forgive me because I've been on vacation, and I don't know if you guys read my email, but I wanted to talk about the tight ends.
We really got to forgive you because we actually didn't even have a show today.
There was no show today because this is the show.
This takes the place of the show, so just spring
Pat,
it on us now.
Pat, would you like me to read your email right now with you on the phone?
Sure.
It reads, good afternoon, PFW in Progress crew. I'm really interested to see how Justin Jones and DJ Williams perform tonight and throughout this preseason, even more so than Mallett. My one question for today is, if those two guys, or even Watson, have strong showings throughout the preseason, is there a chance the Pats break camp with four tight ends on the roster? If I'm not mistaken, didn't they only go into last year with Hooman, Sudfeld, and Gronk on PUP? Or did they carry four in the last year, too? If Jones can show himself to be a good blocker and a serviceable receiver, it would be interesting to see if he makes Hooman expendable. That's from Pat Nagawam, who we have on the line.
I would absolutely be stunned if they had four tight ends on the roster. I actually, at this point, don't see anyone other than two that look like NFL tight ends.
Yeah, there's a chance that there's only two. I would just as a slight correction, Pat, Gronk did not open the season on PUP last year. He didn't play the first six games, but
that's right.
He was
that's
active.
Right, he didn't.
He was an active roster spot.
And Jones and Issa Watson are the only two guys dressed up as tight ends tonight, correct?
Tonight.
Right.
As far as we know, yeah.
Devlin probably, or maybe in that role.
I was going to say, do you think we'll see Devlin at all get any snaps tonight, or do you think
you'll probably see Andy's boy McCullough?
Could see McCullough. We've seen Josh Klein and Sebastian Vollmer in blocking situations get reps out there. The one guy to me, I eliminate Asa Watson, and maybe I'm being unfair. I have seen nothing. I don't think he did much in college to say he has a future in the NFL. So I eliminate him, and I kind of include Gronk and Hooman as, for better or worse, your locks. So to me, right. The in-between guys are Williams and Jones. DJ Williams is the move tight end. He's a little more athletic, a little smaller. Limited chances that I've seen him do limited things on the field. Now he's hurt. So that leaves you Justin Jones, who I'm intrigued by, but I still think is a practice squad guy and not a regular roster guy. Because, let's be honest, he hasn't even been as good as Zach Sudfeld was last year. And we learned a lesson about an undrafted tight end and making the jump to the regular season last year. So I think they might be a little hesitant to go that road again.
All right, guys. Well, that's all I had.
All right, Pat.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for listening. We very much appreciate it.
Home of Six Flags, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Never been there.
Never been to Six Flags.
Nope.
I've been to Agawam. I haven't been to Six Flags.
The hell did you do in Agawam?
Just passing through, right along I-91. I think I once had a friend that lived there. I had to drop him off.
You once had a friend?
It wasn't really a friend. It was more of an acquaintance from college that he needed a ride home, and I gave him one.
Nice guy that you are.
He was a good dude, but I wasn't.
So were you, apparently.
Oh. Try to help people, Andy.
I hear you, bro.
That's what I do. 855-PATS-500. That's a phone number. We got one more segment to go. Jump on board.
Pants off.
Let us know your thoughts. Andy's apparently ready to take his pants off. He's going to get changed for television. Don't forget, of course, if you're going to be watching the game tonight, you're going to be seeing Paul and Andy breaking it down from the studio right here at Gillette Stadium. Even though the game's at FedEx Field, the miracle of technology is going to allow that to happen. So those two guys are going to be on the TV broadcast as well. We got more to go here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Join us.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Have a question for the boys? Call them on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to your host, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
That's nice. You set that up, Kev? Oh, that's very nice. Welcome back to the show. Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social here on Patriots.com. Mark Bertrand alongside Paul Perillo and Andy Hart. Those guys are getting ready, and they, I think they are ready to go for their big TV broadcast tonight. Year two of this. Year two. Is anything different in year two from year one? I want to ask you guys that.
Well, we won't be in this studio. We'll be in an actual television production studio, which looks very good. We stopped by earlier right down the hall here, Kraft Sports Productions. And got some monitors in the background with the Bob's logos.
So are you still, like at a desk?
No, we're still in chairs, okay. On risers in front of a wood paneling. And
so it's very fancy looking.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an upgrade from what we had here in the radio studio. I think it'll be nice.
Very good. And, of course, locally here in the Boston area, that's on WBZ-TV. And I know there's a ton of affiliates as well for Patriots preseason.
I believe we'll be on the NFL Network at some point, right, potentially?
They are running every single preseason.
Yeah, they do
game.
Every game, so it's either us or the Skins broadcast.
Right. So I don't know how.
Either
that
or.
Cross your fingers, Andy. Maybe you'll go national tonight.
I'd like to.
I want to remind you to stop into Dunkin' Donuts today for a refreshing French vanilla or hazelnut swirl iced coffee. The rich flavor of our French vanilla or hazelnut swirls are the perfect complement to any of your favorite Dunkin' Donuts hot or iced beverages. America runs on Dunkin'.
My wife's in midseason form. My cell phone just rang. Pretty sure pretty much every show last year, right before the game, she would call and, you know, still doesn't understand that I do a two-hour radio show leading up to the game.
I'm on the radio. I can't to you.
Are we going to do the keys to the game?
I meant to ask Kevin.
I hope not.
Kevin, can we do keys to the game? No, that's not. We're not doing that? Okay.
Five-pack, six-pack, whatever we did last
year?
Nope,
that's not a preseason thing.
Wow.
Well, then, what are we going to do for the next 15 minutes?
We're talking about some football. Jack writes in from South Carolina. He's upset with the characterization of Jamie Collins in the AFC Championship game. I think Paul talked about
okay,
this.
Okay, good. Paul. He was awesome. Oh, no, the AFC Championship game.
Yeah,
he
correct. Was awesome. Jack writes, I watched film of the Pats-Broncos playoff game. Jamie Collins did not look to be struggling to me. He looked excellent. He flies to the ball, does a great job of dropping in zone, and then diving underneath throws. Looked good rushing the passer. I thought him and Chandler Jones both looked good. Other than them and McCourty, everyone else was struggling. Jack from South Carolina.
I could have given you a little bit of a concession until you mentioned that he and Chandler Jones looked good. When Chandler Jones touched Peyton Manning's shoulder with a fingernail on one play, and that was the only time they got in the area code of Manning the entire day. I thought that Collins struggled with Julius Thomas that day. I thought with the run, and I do remember him making a couple of nice plays in that game, Collins, against the run. I don't remember him making many others, and Chandler Jones was a non-factor throughout.
Get to another call coming in here, 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number for you. Josh is in Virginia tonight. What's up, Josh?
Get to another call coming in here, 855-PATS-500.
What is that? What happened there?
Turn your internet down.
It sounded like a harmonica.
Sounded like you.
I don't know what was going on there. We're going to have to move on.
A little polka, maybe?
Due to the latency of the internet, we could hear you.
Yeah. Let's go to another email, then.
Okay.
Let's do that. Danny from Spain.
Hola, mi amigo.
Danny from Spain is a regular emailer. Always checks in.
Wait a minute. Andy just got one right. He spoke in the language that is actually spoken in the country that he was talking
amigo
about.
Con grande cabeza.
It's pretty good. While we're at it, Andy, why don't you go ahead and read that.
España?
Give the España number.
9008348 again 9008348
thank you, Andy.
Amigo con grande cabeza.
Danny from Spain writes, now in Houston.
Oh, for crying out loud, I just gave out the Spain number.
Hi guys. I know, that's why I let you read it. Hi guys.
Long wait time. Is this the guy who was in the cafe in northern Spain or whatever?
May have been,
I think,
yes.
That is where
Danny
he was.
From Spain emails at the very minimum after every single game.
And Danny from Spain
many
is a much
times
cooler in, name than Danny from Houston.
Right. And now Danny from Spain is now from Houston. Danny writes, hi guys, longtime listener, usual emailer. I moved from Spain to Houston this summer. So now that I have the chance to actually go to Pats games, I'm planning a trip to New York on the 28th of August when they play against the Giants. Will you guys be there? No, we'll be right here in this studio in Foxborough. Come here. Come to Foxborough. I wanted to ask you about Garoppolo's role in tonight's game. What do you expect from him? Will he have the opportunity to be out there with some veteran wide receiver? So can we see a little bit of his potential? Thanks. Good job as always. Danny from Spain, which is really Danny from Houston.
I don't think that you'll see much of Garoppolo with frontline guys. Now, most of the receivers on the roster are young. So, really, it's just Amendola and Edelman, right? I mean, you're dealing with Boyce, Tompkins, Wilson Van Hooser, Brian Timms. Derek Johnson, the wide receivers on the roster are first and second-year players. So that's why I expect him to be out there. And I think he should get a chance to play a little bit, I don't know, maybe late third quarter into the fourth. What do you guys think? Sound about right?
That's,
one quarter?
That's what I would think.
Give Mallett three quarters. Give Garoppolo the last couple of drives.
And that is not going to be with any veteran quality
players.
Well,
they don't have much, as Paul said, veteran
field.
Talent. So.
No, they don't. Let's get to this email quickly from Matt. He's emailing us from Halifax, Nova Scotia. Matt writes, hey, guys, great job this week. Paul, I really enjoyed Tuesday's show with the play-by-play.
It's nay on the Le-Pe-Le.
He wants to know.
I'm not sure if that's legal.
Brandon LaFell.
Under NFL broadcasting rules.
Brandon LaFell.
I wasn't worried about the NFL. I was worried about the Patriots rules. We're not supposed to do that. That's all.
But you did it anyway.
I did.
It was highly entertaining.
Permission. Forgiveness, not permission.
You weren't giving away any kind of
secrets. No, of course not.
Just saying, given the general lay of the land, right? Matt wants to know, Brandon LaFell, how much time does he get tonight in this game? Andy, Paul, what do you think? Andy's finishing a bite of something.
A lot.
I skipped over LaFell in the group of the regular receivers. He's actually, I think, coming on a little bit lately. I think he's still inconsistent. He still drops some passes here and there. But I think Brady's gone to him a little bit more lately, and I agree with Andy. I think he'll get some run tonight.
I would say even he's, from my perspective, and I can be a very harsh critic, I think he's come on a lot over the last week or so down in Washington. Hurry-up drill. There was one hurry-up drill where, if I remember my notes correctly, it was basically Brady to LaFell, Brady to LaFell, Brady to one other person, Brady to LaFell, Brady to LaFell. And I was like, oh, well, that's pretty interesting that, in a hurry-up, competitive drill with the Redskins, he went to the new guy a number of times, and the new guy who has dropped the ball at times.
Let's go back to the phone lines. It's time to go inside the press box.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
Eric Scalavino on the line, joining us from the press box at FedEx Field tonight. Eric, what's going on? Give us the sights. Give us the sounds. What are you seeing down there?
Hey, fellas.
good to talk to you again. Yeah, I'm seeing Tom Brady warming up with the rest of the quarterbacks. Now, I know that Bill Belichick just went on Sports Hub and said that he's not going to play tonight, but he is in full uniform. If something disastrous were to happen, he's dressed and ready to go. I don't think Patriots fans need to see that tonight. I'm really curious as to how much playing time Ryan Ballett is going to split with Jimmy Garoppolo, if at all. I'm even wondering if Garoppolo gets in this game, if they really let Mallett go wire to wire. I think that's going to be an interesting thing to watch.
Eric, is there anyone not warming up on the field that you expected to be playing in tonight's game?
No. All of the guys that we saw who were injured and or not taking part in practice, none of those guys are out here. Everyone else seems to be accounted for. All of those guys that we expect to be out here, it seems, I mean, there's, you know, upwards of 75 to 80 guys who are out here, but it seems like everyone who's been practicing consistently is out here and ready to go. They haven't yet gone into team drill, so I think they're about to do that now. They're just finishing up individual drills, so it'll be kind of interesting to see who gets what reps. In the warm-ups, I was watching the O-line when they came out in their groupings, and it looked like Dan Connolly was taking center snaps with the first team in the O-line group workout. Now they're going to team drills, and Connolly is indeed taking first team snaps with Tom Brady taking those first team quarterbacks.
Eric, we've been talking a lot about obviously what people want to see, what they're excited to see, things they'll be watching for, and there's been a variety of topics, but I'll pose that question to you. What are you excited to see? What are you watching for in tonight's game?
Well, I think I'm the first thing I mentioned just a moment ago, I'm interested to see just how well Ryan Mallett plays, how long he plays, and how much time they give to Jimmy Garoppolo, because of the three quarterbacks, he needs the most live action reps if they want to develop him into what we think or what they think he's going to be. So I'll be interested to see that. I'm also curious as to how the O-line shakes out, because as you guys know, we've seen so many different combinations the last, or particularly the last week here in Washington. And I'm very interested to see how that works out. Ryan Wendell is now taking Team 2 snaps with Ryan Mallett as the quarterback now in the offensive line. I'm curious to see who lines up next to Devin McCourty at safety. And how that front seven looks, because we've seen a lot of 3-4 this week here in Washington, whereas, you know, the previous week and all the last couple of years, actually, we've seen 4-3 looks from New England. So are they going to stick with that 3-4? And if so, who are the guys in on the D-line? You know, is Chandler Jones a sub? Is he one of the, you know, starting guys in there? There's a lot of moving parts in this first preseason game. There's a lot to look at and a lot that's interesting.
One final question for you, Eric, not related to the Patriots, but related to the Redskins. DeSean Jackson rolling his ankle yesterday. Is he out there? You think he's going to play? What's his deal?
No, he's out. He and Pierre Garçon both got nicked up during the week of joint practice. Neither of them is going to play. They were out here earlier, though, just sort of horsing around, getting a little bit of rehab work done. And then when they were done, they stayed out on the field while the rest of the Redskins went in the locker room. And it was pretty neat little scene. They were playing catch with some of the fans in the stand. Something I'd never seen players do before. So that was kind of neat of them to do that.
All right, very good. Eric, enjoy the game. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Sounds good.
Take it easy.
Thanks, Z.
And
right.
To answer John in South Carolina, no, that's just how he always is. And the question, holy crap, is Eric on sedatives?
Did he just ask that question?
He tweeted it, yes.
John in South Carolina actually wrote an email to us a couple minutes ago. John wrote, man, am I happy about this show being back on the air. I want it all to be the big red chairs. Andy's horrible accents, the eventual fight that will break out with Bertrand at some point. I have to ask, are you guys allowed to be on a microphone without eating? I wanted to say,
Did he send that in before or after we started?
Yeah, we just took care of that.
He just sent it within the last 5 minutes.
So he may have heard us.
He heard you chewing away and sent in the email.
Very good burger from Red Robin. I don't know what that was, but it was tremendous.
Yeah, it was very good.
It almost looked like it had salsa on it. Did yours have that?
I don't know.
And almost like a Big Mac-esque special sauce.
Fat guys
sauce.
Just eat. They don't worry about what it is.
He said, I wanted to say I hope they have more of you guys. Talking about Paul and Andy, your input during the preseason games this year. He's looking for more from you guys. I thought you were right on the mark last year. Crap day at work, but your show along with one or five beers, and I'm feeling pretty good. Shout out to all the Elite fans. Bleep the Jets, John in South Carolina. What a great email. That's terrific.
That was a very good email.
Good job, John.
Good stuff, another, John. Another question I would pose, the young cornerbacks. Do any of them have a chance?
You know, it's interesting. Do you end up keeping the best secondary players that you have, the best defensive backs that you have? Or do you say, well, we have five corners, and they're really good. How many more can we keep? Can we keep Malcolm Butler? Can we keep Justin Green, who you said is not having a good camp?
Why, you think he's having a good camp?
No, I don't think he's been having as bad a camp as you described, though.
A bit of an apology.
Okay. Travis Hawkins, does he get a chance? I mean,
I'm really intrigued by him.
He's more of a safety.
Safety who's also returning kickoffs. Interesting little mix there. But
he could be a guy to watch tonight.
I think you keep your best defensive backs. Yes, you have to have a couple safeties. But Bill talked about it in the spring. We've had Marquise Cole sort of play both roles. We've seen Ryan and Arrington play both roles. Yeah, I don't think you keep an X number of safeties because, it says here you're going to have three safeties or whatever.
I agree with you. I think he keeps the best defensive backs. And if that's the case, then I think some of those young corners, whoever he deems most ready, maybe it's Butler
in the mix.
You know, I think, like you said, I think Hawkins is a guy they like too, based on the amount of reps he gets.
Concert starting.
Slough, if you hear that in the background.
This is probably the opening act, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know who else is here, though.
It was 5-something of something.
Oh.
5 seconds.
5 minutes.
They're the ones
summer.
That sing In My American Apparel.
Yeah, I don't know what that song is.
Well, it was a big hit.
I'm sure it is, but you have no idea what you're trying to sing, so I don't know what that song is.
Standing here in my American Apparel underwear.
Never heard that one.
Oh, you're both idiots.
Maybe I have heard that one, I just don't know the lyrics to the song.
I've just never heard that version of it.
It's the unplugged version.
Well, that's for sure.
Adam in Maryland.
He's been unplugged for a while.
Excuse me, Adam in Virginia.
Hey,
Alexandria.
We were just down
you
in your area.
You guys were just there.
Is Alexandria near Richmond?
I don't believe so. With the rumors that New England was looking to extend.
All right, let's get to the question. We don't need a geography lesson.
Very good point. Go ahead.
We got like 4 minutes left.
That was all on me. My bad.
It's probably like a two-hour drive.
Okay, I didn't realize it was that far. My bad, though. It was an irrelevant.
There were a baseball game, it's worth it.
An irrelevant tangent by me.
All right, back to the email. With the rumors that New England was looking to extend Revis already, later reportedly debunked in the news, I was wondering, do you guys know if there will be any talks with McCourty, or are they planning to play it out with him for the season?
My guess is there'll be some talks. How quickly those talks will escalate, I don't know. I think the value of McCourty is a very questionable topic right now. Whether he is a 30
the next
million,
$50 million
40,
guy?
50, for me, no.
Not for me.
Because now I'm going to have another in the list of $50 million players who I don't think makes enough plays. To me, he is a lot like Mayo in the back end. He's a communicator. He's the veteran presence. He's the leader. He's the sure tackler. The only thing he isn't is the playmaker. And somewhere along the line, I got to have my playmakers. And I feel like when you pay $50 million, you deserve some playmaking.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. I think that there's I think he's definitely going to be up for an extension. And I think he's going to be there's going to be some talks about it right now, but I don't want to break the bank there. And it's maybe that's an unfortunate byproduct for McCourty over some of the contracts that Andy already mentioned that I think they did break the bank for and they didn't have to.
And the other issue I have is people want to say, you know, there's not a lot of great safeties in the league. You know, as these other guys have aged, Adrian Wilson is gone and Ed Reed is gone
Roman
and Troy Polamalu's not what he once was and all these guys. Okay, so you have what's his name in Seattle as one of your best safeties. And you have and maybe McCourty is the fifth or sixth or seventh, wherever he is, but I think there's a drop-off, a big drop-off from Thomas. And just because he's fourth or fifth or sixth best doesn't mean he's anywhere near the first or second best. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of the quarterback thing. Well, there may be three elite quarterbacks. Just because you're four doesn't mean you're close to three, or just because you're five doesn't mean you're really that close to four. There can be a little delta there.
Andrew's in Buffalo. Let's get to Andrew's call here.
Hey, is this Andrew from the Ukraine?
No,
it's Andrew from Buffalo,
Andrew
New York.
Buffalo.
Well, I thought Andrew from the Ukraine.
I'm sorry, Andrew. Just disregard Andy.
I had a burger. It's messed with my mind.
Yeah, I'm sure Andy remembers me. I haven't called for a while now, like maybe 2 months.
Well, I'm glad you're back.
Good to have you back.
What's going on?
Well, let's wait.
No, I'm just taking a little break from everything and trying to, like, just basically just hear the show, see about everyone else's take on everything that's been going on in off season. But I'm just really concerned with the offensive line. I feel like, you know, without that no huddle, I mean, if we're in the no huddle, it'll help Brady, but when teams sort of just game plan for that come in the regular season, I feel like we're going to struggle as far as protecting Brady. I don't think the offensive line is really that strong this year. What do you guys think about that?
It wasn't that strong last year protecting Brady.
And it wasn't that strong this week, I would say. That was one of the few areas that I thought the Redskins showed up on in a positive light against the Patriots. I thought their – and Andy talked about Arakpo and Kerrigan earlier. I thought their front put some pressure on the Patriots. And that's one area that I have that I'm a little bit concerned about is the depth of the offensive line. Not so much the depth, the talent of the offensive line, how it comes together, the protection in particular.
New coach there.
Yeah.
Gooch. What's the name? Gooch?
Gooch.
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 Rhymes with?
Unbelievable.
Gooch.
He can't help himself.
I'm not allowed to say what it rhymes with. It's a bad word.
All right. We'll leave it at that.
It's not a swear word. It's a disgusting, filthy
word. I think
word.
I know where you're going. Okay. Let's just leave that off the program.
I did.
All right. Good.
All right, then. We'll see you in a couple hours.
All right. First Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame
social. One down, 19 to go.
We're in the books.
And we are now a couple hours closer to our first ever official spot on the Xbox One postgame show.
That is the most exciting thing that is happening today, is that Andy and Paul are coming right back here after the game, as they will do all season long. And we'll do the Xbox One postgame show right here on Patriots.com. So when the game is over, after you're done watching Andy and Paul break it down during the game, they're going to break it down again after the game. Much more in depth.
Andy and Paul.
More insight.
Seven hours, roughly.
I feel like we may have reached our saturation point.
No, Peter Principal at work right now. No, talk to Felger about that. I have much more to say about that. We'll be right back here after the game. Join us then. Thanks for tuning in.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now, it's game time as the Pats take on the Washington Redskins.
Patriots tight formation. Quick hitter, Brady with a play pick and an open. Aaron Dodson to the right side, headed to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com radio for the Xbox One Patriots postgame show immediately following the game.
Two receivers left, two to the right. Brady on a deep drop, looking to throw. He pumps in the pocket. He fires down the middle. A wide open Amendola. Touchdown, Patriots!
Log on to Patriots.com all week for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.